Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Father, we thank you that you are unfolding your purposes and taking us further and further on in the way in which you want to lead us. We open our hearts to hear, receive your word this morning. And then, Lord, we want to respond to that word and really meet with you so that you can do new things in our hearts and lives for the glory of your name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. We need some time to meet with God after the word this morning, so we'll get straight on with it. There are three motives that lie behind everything God does. Three motives which lie behind why he answers prayer. The same three motives that need to lie behind everything that we do. And the sure and certain way of testing whether what you're hearing or doing is the will of God is by these three particular truths. So these are really three key truths that have all those effects. For many years, whenever God is speaking to me about what he wants to do, either in my life personally or in Kingdom Faith, he always gives these three reasons. And when I know that he says these three things to me, I know, right, this is most definitely what God is wanting. So what are these three things? It all began, as I said, many years ago when God told me to do something, and then he said, this is why I want you to do it. And he gave me these three things, and they've lived with me, in me, ever since. So what are these three things? First, for the glory of his name. Second, for the good of his kingdom. And third, for the welfare of his people. So if I just give you an example, when God first told me to do the truth translation of version of the New Testament, I was full of all kinds of questions because this was nothing that I'd ever thought of doing, wanted to do, expected to do. And God simply said to me, I want you to do this for the glory of my name, for the good of my kingdom, and the welfare of my people. So from that moment, I knew there was no argument, there was nothing to contend with God about. Those are the three motives that lie behind everything he does. Now, we could quote many, many scriptures to substantiate that. If we just take one for each of them. When Jesus began his great high priestly prayer in John 17, just before his arrest, the first thing he said was, Father, the time has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Everything Jesus does for the glory of the Father. When he began his ministry, he said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand. He taught people to pray, may your kingdom come. He taught them the principle, seek first the kingdom of God. So everything he does is for the good of his kingdom. And we know not only from his ministry how he showed compassion on the people and met the needs of the people, but the very heart of the new covenant is that we are to love one another, that we are to lay down our lives, that we are to be concerned, therefore, about the welfare of others rather than ourselves. Now, this, of course, is a good way to test whether what you're hearing is really the will and the purpose of God. Because we're to test everything, aren't we? So you can ask yourself, well, now, is this really for the glory of God? Is this going to be for the good of the kingdom? And is this going to end in the welfare of God's people? If what you're hearing doesn't tick all three boxes, you need to seriously question whether what you're hearing is from God. Because all three of these things really need to be present if we're going to move in the will of God. So, when you are considering what you should do, you can ask yourself the same three questions. Am I doing this for the glory of God? Is this really for the good of the kingdom? Am I seeking the welfare of other people? If I can't tick all three boxes, I won't do it. Just to tick two boxes is not enough, because all three of these things are bound up together in the purposes of God.
Very good.
Now, of course, implicit in this is the fact that we are living to deny ourselves to fulfill the will and the purpose of God. So if we're asking the question of ourselves concerning what we believe we should do, then we have to be absolutely honest and say, now, am I doing this for the glory of God or for my own glory? Am I seeking recognition? Am I seeking praise? Am I seeking acclaim from people? Or is this really for the glory of God? Is this really for the kingdom of God, so that God will rule and reign in my life, in my circumstances, all around me, in the church, whatever is involved in the particular thing? Is this really going to further the reign of God, or am I going to further some objectives of my own? And thirdly, am I really seeking the welfare of other people, or am I being motivated by concern for myself? You need to be able to tick all three boxes. Yes, this is for the glory of God. Because you see, all God's purposes are focused around the kingdom. So if it isn't going to be for the good of the kingdom, forget it. And because God is love, he is therefore concerned about the welfare of his people. If it isn't going to end with the welfare of his people, then it's not out of love and it's not from God. It's all very, very simple, isn't it? Now you have to be honest with yourself, because, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things. And, you know, sometimes you can try to kid yourself that you're doing this for the welfare of others or for the good of the kingdom, when really what you're concerned about is yourself and your own prestige, position, ministry, whatever. So it's a good sort of test to keep our own heart motives pure. Now, God has been talking to us about holiness. He's been talking to us about pure hearts, and this is the way to keep testing your heart so that you know the motives that lie behind what you are doing are the same motives that lie behind what God is doing. Because if you've got different motives from God's motives, then you are not in agreement with God. And if you're not in agreement of God, with God, what you're intending to do is not of God. Are we there? And because these are the motives that always lie, you can't think of anything that God does that are not undergirded by these three motives. The glory of his name, the glory of who he is, the good of his kingdom, and the welfare of his people. You won't be able to think of anything. My wife and I were having a little conversation about this yesterday, and she was trying to think of one or two ways in which, you know, you could bypass any of those things. I said, no, just think about it. That's for the glory of his name, the good of his kingdom, the welfare of his people. Always comes back to all three of those things. So, what has God called us to do? To live for the glory of his name, the good of his kingdom, and the welfare of his people. Now, how that will be outworked in all the different circumstances of your life, the Holy Spirit will show you. But you can be quite sure that whatever he tells you to do will have those three motives. Other people might encourage you to do things that do not tick all three of those boxes. But then you are to serve the Lord, not to serve the vision of other people, if that vision differs at all from the vision of God. So why are you here at Rafi, whether you're on the team or whether you're a student? You're here for the glory of God, for the good of his kingdom, and for the welfare of his people. Which means you're not here for yourself. You're not seeking your own future. You don't have any other motives than to see God glorified in your life, that you will live a life for the good of his kingdom, and that you will always seek the welfare of others. I don't know how many times when I'm writing down what God is saying to me over the years, he's said this and I've written it down, and I always write it down. I don't just think, yeah, well, I know that, Lord. You've said it 1,000 times before. Because I know when he actually says that to me, it's like saying, this is my amen to what I'm saying.
Very good.
So it's good that what God was doing all last week in our lives, as he focuses us on holiness and meeting him in his holiness, and as we've seen last week, there are so many different aspects to holiness. There's the love, there's the power, and so on. But part of holiness is purity. Yes. And purity of heart has got more to do than sort of sexual purity. We tend to think of purity in terms of sexual behavior. But actually, how God views purity is purity of intent, purity of motive. Now, that will include the sexual, that you're not using other people for yourselves, but it's much, much, much bigger than that. A pure heart wants to glorify the Lord, see the good of the kingdom fulfilled, and is concerned about the welfare of others. So if you aspire to have some kind of ministry in the future, that ministry needs to come out of your concern for the glory of God, the good of the kingdom, and the welfare of other people. You see, all three of these things are tied up together. This is why you can't tick two of the boxes and have one that you can't tick. If it's for the glory of God, it will be for the good of the kingdom. And if it's good for the good of the kingdom, it will be for the welfare of others. If it's for the welfare of others, then it's for the glory of God and it's for the good of the kingdom. If it's for the good of the kingdom, then it will be for the glory of God and for the welfare of others. The three things are inseparable. So when you're praying and you believe God is saying something to you, check all three. Is this really for His glory? Not mine. Is this really for the good of the kingdom? Because, you see, if it is for the good of the kingdom, then it will be ultimately for my good as well. But that's not my motivation. My motivation is the kingdom. And if it is for the welfare of others, well, I will be doing to others what I do to Jesus. Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. And if I am giving and living and serving and laying down my life for others, then I'm going to be blessed as a result, because God will give good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So I actually am going to benefit from all this, but that's not my motivation. My motivation is not that I will benefit. My motivation is not what I'm going to get back. My motivation is to glorify the Lord, to see the kingdom extended, and to see the welfare of other people being fulfilled. If that's my motive, I'm going to prosper. I'm going to be blessed. But I'm not doing it to prosper and be blessed. I'm going to do it because it's the will of God to glorify His name, to see His king, the good of His kingdom extended, and He is concerned about the welfare of His people. Are we getting this? So it's a very, very simple way of keeping our hearts right, our hearts pure before God, of making sure that we have the right motivation. Because, you know, God does not judge the works, but the motivation behind the works. So it's a good way of keeping our motives right, our motives pure before God. And of course, it's the way to fulfill the purpose of God. Now, that's something that the Lord told me to share with you this morning, that is in and of itself. It just stands on its own as a truth to be received and acted upon. Yeah. But alongside that, there's something else that I was really impressed by God to talk about this morning. There's a relationship between the two, obviously. And it's something that I talked a little bit about to the second year students yesterday. But it's of great concern to us now that we get this right, because we're in the place where we're going to see these Jerichos conquered. That, remember what your Jericho is. That which in the past has stood closed to you is going to be opened. So... what is this? Well, think for a moment of the parable, what I usually call the prodigal son. That's not a very good name, because it's parable of the father and two sons, really, which is what we call it in the truth. Think for a moment about the older brother. You remember that he was peeved that the father should be killing the fatted calf and having this great big celebration for the return of his very disobedient and rebellious son, who has now repented. And one of the things that really concerns this older brother is that he's killed the fatted calf for the one who's wasted his inheritance with prostitutes, but the father had never given him a goat to have a feast with his friends. And you remember that the father said to him, "Everything I have is yours." Now, that's a truth that we emphasize a lot. And I hear and I listen to the way people pray, and I listen to actually the way sometimes our prayer meetings are led. And I hear a lot of confessing of the truth over our lives and over the church. Now, that is obviously right. We are confessing that everything the Lord has is ours. I've taught you to do that over the years, those of you who've been here years. It's absolutely right. It's right to confess that we're co-heirs with Christ. It's right to confess that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We can walk up and down with scriptures and we can confess all these things over our lives, and that's good and that's right. But having done that, you haven't received a thing. Not a thing. Why not? Because you haven't asked. And there's a scripture that says you do not receive because you do not ask. You see, you can confess the truth, everything God has is mine. Fine. True. But I've still got to receive it. And the way I receive it is by asking with faith. So just confessing what I have does not enable me to receive. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Not confess the truth and you will receive. Now, it's important to confess the truth, otherwise you won't believe when you ask. But if all you do is confess the truth about your inheritance, but you still don't ask, then you're like the older brother who does not come and lay claim to everything that the father had. If he'd come and asked for a goat for his had to have a feast with his friends, the father would have given him a goat. But he never asked. Even though everything that the father had was his. A verse at the end of chapter 16 of John's Gospel, where Jesus is speaking and say, "Everything the Father has is mine, and everything that is mine, the Holy Spirit makes them known to you." Wonderful. You see, that truth is everything that the Father has, everything that the Son has, everything that the Holy Spirit has is mine. See, the illustration I used yesterday with the second-year students. Supposing you had £1 million in the bank, you could go around and say to everybody, "I've got £1 million in the bank. I'm confessing the truth over what I possess. I have £1 million. The Lord has given me £1 million, or somehow I've got this £1 million. It's mine. Hallelujah." But unless I write a check, or unless I draw on it, I'm not going to use any of it. I'm confessing the truth. I have £1 million. But it's not doing me any good until I put it to use. I have to draw on the inheritance that I say is mine. So just to say, "Praise God, by his stripes I am healed." Inheritance. But now I've got to come to him, the merciful one, and ask and receive that which is part of my inheritance. And you see, when people come to Jesus to ask, they come humbly. depending upon his mercy, depending upon his grace. Now, when Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, it's because you believe you have the inheritance. But he says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. And there's that scripture in James that says, you do not receive because you have not asked. Just like that elder brother. He didn't receive because he had not asked. So it's a question of getting the balance of these two things right. There's no point asking if you don't believe you have the inheritance. But it's no use believing you have the inheritance if you don't ask. So, why has God given us such a great inheritance that we're co-heirs with Christ? For the glory of his name, for the good of his kingdom, and the welfare of his people. Now you are one of his people, so that is for your welfare as well as others. So if there's something you need to ask for your welfare, that's fine. Because that inheritance is there to give him glory by you using it in the right way. It's to see the kingdom of God extended, all the riches and resources that he makes available, he will channel for the good of his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. And then whether you're asking for others or asking for yourself, it's the asking with faith that you're asking for that which is part of your inheritance that will enable you to receive. Because your motive in praying is for the glory of the Father, the good of the kingdom, and the welfare of his people. Because that's what is in his heart. And you see, to pray in the name of Jesus is to pray according to what is in God's heart. If all we had to do was just to confess the truth, it would be very easy, wouldn't it? And we would see the answer to everything. But I've been concerned, you know, why, Lord, are there some situations where we don't seem to see or to be receiving that which we need? And, you know, sometimes God gives you a surprising answer. He says, well, you're not asking. You're confessing the truth, but you're not asking. Very interesting. Is there a contradiction between asking and believing that you have received? No. Jesus said they go together. Whatever you ask, believe that you have received it. He puts the two things together. What you have as your inheritance and your need to ask. You see, if you look at chapter 17 of John, Jesus' prayer before he goes to the cross, he's asking. He's asking the Father to do a whole lot of things. He said, I protected them by your name, by the name that you've given me. Now, Father, I am returning to you. So you continue to protect them. Protect them by the name that you've given me. Yes. And he's praying for all those who have become believers. Father, that the love that you have for me may be in them. Now, he knows that our inheritance is that love, but he's still asking the Father, put that love in them. And we know that the Lord didn't give the Lord's Prayer for us to repeat like parrots. But it's asking. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Forgive us as we forgive others. Give us today our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. He's not confessing the truth. He's asking, teaching us to ask. Now, before you came to Rafi, most of your prayer would have been asking, but without revelation of the inheritance that you have. So it's very important to be taught, well, this is your inheritance. You're a co-heir with Christ. This is what God has given you. This is yours by the grace and the mercy of God. But we mustn't get so caught up with confessing that if we think we've confessed the truth, that's all we've needed to do. No, no, no. You confess the truth, then you ask. Come on. And you see, God doesn't answer the confession of truth because there's nothing for him to answer. I mean, you're just catching up with what he's known beforehand. He knows that's your inheritance. You're rejoicing that now you realize it. And the Greek, when God says, asking you will, Jesus says, asking you will receive, the Greek means continue to ask. It doesn't mean you ask once and then forget it. Continue. Those who continue to ask, receive. Those who continue to seek, find. Those who continue to knock, to them it will be opened. That's what the Greek actually means. There's this continuous action. Now you're asking with faith. See, I've heard some faith teachers say if you ask more than once, it means you weren't in faith the first time. Well, let me tell you, sometimes we need to keep asking until we're in a place of faith. Because you're not necessarily in a place of faith at the time when you first ask. But even if you need to persevere, it's the asking with faith because you believe that you're receiving. But we don't have to try to play clever games with the Word of God. We just have to do what Jesus says. Because everything he says is for the glory of the Father and the good of his kingdom and the welfare of his people, which includes your welfare. So it's great that we have this wonderful inheritance. We'll try that again. It's great that we have this wonderful inheritance that we're co-heirs with Christ. That everything God has is ours. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Fine, so why don't we ask? Why don't we then appropriate? It's very simple, isn't it? Knowing that if we lay hold of that which is part of our inheritance, the Father will be glorified, the good of the kingdom will be extended, and the welfare of God's people will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. So that's all I believe we need to hear this morning. We don't need a long, long message. But what we need to do now is to respond. So we're going to do two things in the prayer which relate to both these complementary truths. First, we're just going to have time before God to ensure that our heart motives are pure. That what we are doing in our lives now, the decisions that we're making, are for the glory of God, the good of his kingdom, and the welfare of others, the welfare of his people. And if you can't tick all three boxes concerning anything that's going on in your life at present, then it's time for that to go on in your life no longer. Or if you realize, well, my motive is right in some respects, but not in other respects, then it's to purify your motives, to purify your heart. You see, we are told to purify our hearts. And this is one way of doing it. And then in the second part, we're going to do some asking. So that we receive that which is our inheritance, personally, corporately.
That's it.
You see, sometimes not asking is an opt-out. I mean, people have said to me sometimes, well, I'm afraid to ask in case I don't receive. So if I don't ask, I'm not going to be disappointed. Well, there's no faith in that, is there? Because what God wants is for us to ask with the expectation of receiving. But if we're asking for what will glorify his name, will be for the good of his kingdom and the welfare of his people, do you think he's going to answer or not? You see, if that's his motive and our motive lines up with his motive, then we're on a winner. Amen? Let's all stand then. Okay, let's just close our eyes so our focus is on the Lord. Now, I believe these three things need to be able to trip off your tongue because they're in your heart just as easily for you as they do for me. Okay, I've been at this for many years, but when God tells someone to share something with others, it's so that it can become part of them. So just thank the Lord, first of all, that he has called you, chosen you, made you his child, so that you live for the glory of the Lord. That your motive is to glorify the Lord with your life. To glorify his name in every aspect of your life. Then thank him that he's called you to live and to work for the good of his kingdom, of his rule and reign in your life and through your life. That you seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You're not seeking your own glory. You're not wanting to control your own life. But you are submitted to the rule and the reign of God. That whatever he asks of you will be for the good of his kingdom. then thank him that he's called you to live for the welfare of his people, to love, to give, to bless, to serve, to help, to encourage, to build up. You live for the welfare of his people. Now you might need to say, Lord, I want my heart to be pure before you and before others. Show me any way in which I seek my glory rather than yours. Because I want all that stuff to go this morning, now, at this meeting. If you need to do something to purify my heart, then Lord, I ask by your Spirit you do it. So I no longer seek my glory, but your glory in everything, Lord. Not just in some things, but in everything. It may be that you realize that, you know, you're more focused on your own good than on the good of the kingdom. And that you realize this is another part of this whole process that God is working out in you now to renew your mind, your mental, your heart attitudes, your mindset. And you might need to say, Lord, forgive me that I've been more concerned about my own good than the good of your kingdom. And I want you to do something in me that will enable me to focus, to be focused in my attitudes on seeking first your kingdom, on being concerned for the good of your kingdom, of your sovereign rule and reign, not just in every area of my lives, but in everything that my life touches, in all that I do, in all that you cause me to do in the life, in my life, right where I am now, Lord. Not just in the future, but now. I want to be motivated by the good of your kingdom. Even those of you who are students, Lord, I want to be the best possible student I could be for the glory of your name and the good of your kingdom. Because you've got kingdom purposes for me for the rest of my life. I want to use my time here at Rophi 100% to the very, very best way, because I realize I'm not here for myself, but for your glory and the good of your kingdom. So you can give me a ministry in the future. You can use me in ways that will really profit and benefit your kingdom worldwide. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you might, you know, you're bringing it right down into reality, aren't you? You might also need to say, Lord, I realize so much of what I do, so many decisions that I make are really, the motive behind them is my own welfare rather than the welfare of others. Rather than the welfare of your people. Thank you, Lord, that you have me here at Rafi for the welfare of your people. Not just for my welfare, not just for my ministry, not just so you can use me, but I'm here for the welfare of your people. Now just tell the Lord that you want to see that outworked in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now you see, you're actually asking, aren't you? You're asking him to do stuff in you. It's going to purify these motives. Okay, now, thank the Lord for the rich inheritance that you have in Christ. That you are a co-heir with Christ. Thank him that you can confess the truth over your life personally. That God has blessed you in Christ with every spiritual in heavenly places. That everything that belongs to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is yours. That you have the fullness of life in Christ. Really thank him that this is your inheritance. That he has withheld nothing from you, but has already given this to be your inheritance. Now thank him that he's done this for the glory of his name, that he will be glorified in you as he was glorified in Jesus. That he's given you this rich inheritance for the good of his kingdom. He doesn't see you just as someone that he loves, someone that he's blessed. He's put you in his kingdom. He's made you part of his body. He's put you in relationships with others so that you are a co-heir with Christ for the good of the kingdom. And as he lived and worked and died for the sake of the kingdom, so you will live, work, and die for the sake of the kingdom. Till your last breath, you will be concerned with the good of God's kingdom here on earth. Hallelujah. Purata parazidu. And thank the Lord that he's made you a co-heir with Christ for the welfare of his people. Not just as you might confess it and rejoice in it and say, yes, wonderful, Lord, but he's done it for the welfare of his people. Bless your wonderful name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Okay, now let's do some asking. Let's draw on this inheritance. But forget whatever need, personal need you have for a moment. Forget that. Because that's not the focus, is it? First of all, if there's something that God has called you to do, you know is for the glory of his name. And somehow that's not being outworked in the way that you know it needs to be. Ask him now. I mean, there could be so many variety of things. I can't pray this for you. You've got to do this. Ask specifically for whatever you need so that God can be glorified in the fulfillment of what he's asking you to do. Okay, off you go. You just do this. Just engage your heart with God now. Something you know to be his will. Maybe in relation to the body of Christ, maybe in relation to other people, whatever it is. Lord, I lay hold of those riches and resources that are mine in Christ now, and I ask you to release into my heart and into my life that which I need in order to glorify you by obeying you in this particular command that you've given me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, maybe there's something that you need to ask in relation to someone else. That you can draw on these riches and resources for the welfare of others. There's something specific you need to ask God to do in relation to someone or some others. Well, do that now. You're doing it with faith. Expecting the outcome that will glorify his name will be for the good of his kingdom and the welfare for that other person or people. And you can say this, Lord, please do this for the glory of your name, to see your kingdom rule and reign extended in that situation. To really bless this person in the way that will please you. And may that person be open to receive all that you are wanting to pour into his or her life. Now, before we come to our own personal issues, we're going to pray for some corporate things concerning Kingdom Faith, because we're all part of Kingdom Faith at this moment. Even you students are part of Kingdom Faith while you're here. So we're going to ask the Lord now for the release of the finances. We've confessed that everything that is, it's all ours, you know. Hallelujah, we know that. But Lord, we specifically ask that you will be glorified in the finances. That you will release to us, by your mercy and grace, everything that Kingdom Faith needs at this season. So we pay all the bills. We have the resources for the extension of your kingdom. That you are glorified in every area of our finances. We seek the welfare, Lord, of the team that has to be paid, of others, Lord, that depend upon Kingdom Faith, the overseas workers, the mission work in various parts of the world, the other ways in which we give. Lord, we ask that there be a continual flow of all the riches and resources that we need for the glory of your name, the good of the kingdom, and the welfare of your people.
And we bless you because we know that you hear us. We know, therefore, that you answer us. And we give you glory that you have unlocked the gates. Hallelujah, that you have pulled down the walls that have resisted the enemy, the way the enemy has tried to dry up those financial resources. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the release of what we need into this church and ministry, into the college, into every area of Kingdom Faith, for the glory of your name, for the good of your kingdom, and the welfare of your people. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Karala bazata bakara sitori satuma. Balala bazatuma. We all know that you are a God who answers prayer, that you have answered us, Lord. And we praise you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name, Jesus. Now, ask for whatever you need. Obviously not, you know, in a selfish way, but whatever need. I mean, if you have a need, a healing need or whatever. But the motive, Lord, behind your asking now is not just that you would be healed or just that you would receive, but you're praying, Lord, I want you to be glorified in my body, in my life, in this situation, in the circumstances, whatever it may be. Lord, let your name be glorified. When the man that was born blind was healed and they asked you, why was this man? Oh, his, but that the glory of God might be revealed. And Lord, we want your glory to be revealed in our lives, in our bodies, in our thinking, in our relationships, in whatever it is, Lord, that concerns us now. We want you to be glorified. We want to see your kingdom reign and rule as extended. Thank you, Lord, that you rule over sickness. You rule over need. You rule over every negative thing. Hallelujah. We thank you that every healing is a sign of the presence of your kingdom. And Lord, we want your kingdom purposes to be furthered in our lives, in our bodies, in our relationships, in the church, whatever, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, thank you that you want this for our welfare because you are concerned about the welfare of all your people and that we're living for others. But Lord, thank you that you're also concerned about us as individuals. And we can be like the son that came and asked for his inheritance, and you gave it to him. He asked because he believed he had it. And Lord, we believe that we have this rich inheritance, that when we ask, you answer. You have said that whatever we ask in your name, whatever we ask for your glory, you will give it to us. So we ask you for these things, Lord, not just for our good, but for your glory. Be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for what he's releasing into your life. Praise you, Jesus. Now, lastly, we're just going to pray for those who we know need the Lord. Any unsaved people, any people that perhaps are backslidden or going through a really testing time right now. What are we praying? Even, you see, when you're praying for the lost, why do you want them saved? Not just so they go to heaven, not just so that their sins were forgiven. Because the scripture says, all have sinned and fall short of the divine glory, the glory of God. So we're praying for God to be glorified in their lives. So come on, let's pray now. Lord, we want you to be glorified in the lives of those who do not know you yet. Those who are at this moment bound by sin, we ask, Lord, we pray for those who have backslidden. They've lost sight of your glory. They're no longer living for your glory. But somehow the life of self has risen up and taken over. And Lord, we pray for them to be restored to your glory, to be restored to your kingdom purposes, that they will be restored to living for others, concerned for the welfare of others and not themselves. And we praise you, we bless you, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, we pray for any others that we know are in a position of temptation, a position where of vulnerability, a position where they're on the verge and their lives can go in one direction or another. And we pray right now, Lord, that you would work somehow in their circumstances so they get focused on your glory and your kingdom and what really will be for the welfare of others, that they won't make the wrong decisions that will put them into bondage. Come on, let's go for this. Come on, you're rescuing people now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now just say, for the glory of your name, for the good of your kingdom, for the welfare of your people. Are you going to remember those?
Yes.
Let's say them all together then. For the glory of your name and the good of your kingdom, and the welfare of your people. Shall we say it again? For the glory of your name, for the good of your kingdom, for the welfare of your people. Have we got it?
Yes.
Come on, let's give the Lord a great big thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.